Welcome to the Adult Child of Dysfunction podcast, where we untangle the past, rewrite the present, and reclaim our future. I am your host, Tammy Vincent, and together we will break free from old patterns, heal wounds, and create new narratives. Are you ready to transform the effects of your dysfunctional past into your superpowers? Are you excited to get back in touch with your true, authentic self? If so, then hit subscribe and join me weekly on the Adult Child of Dysfunction podcast. Here we will learn from experts as well as experienced thrivers how to turn our trials into smiles while living our most authentic and joyful lives. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode. Today we have with us Ren Story. I'm just going to tell you seven words that she used to describe herself and then let her tell her story because it is definitely an interesting one. So she is a neurodivergent adoptee, a mom of six, a cult escaper, a domestic violence survivor, a chronic illness warrior, and a creator of Simply Being Digital Magazine. Welcome, Ren. So happy to have you here.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Yeah. So tell, I mean, obviously just giving those six words, seven words, you've been through a lot. So tell us a little bit more about your story.
Well, a big one, like, was my very first introduction to life being an adoptee. And that really set the stage for the rest of my life. I was adopted within the church. So my babysitters actually adopted me. They helped my parents, a young, struggling family, and didn't work out. And my babysitters ended up adopting me. And so I call myself the church baby because a lot of people were helping out my parents at that time. And losing my mom caused me to kind of emotionally go on my own and to seek refuge in God, or, you know, whatever I was being fed within the church. So I feel like church raised me. And being neurodivergent, having this just logic based towards life, and also just taking everything very literally, I just absorbed everything that they told me, and I took it literally. And wanting to be the good girl because of my adoption trauma, it was just a perfect storm, really, for me to go into extremism within the church. So I spent my life trying to be a spiritual perfectionist and ended up getting caught in the Quiverful movement. And of course, my adoption trauma also played into why I wanted to have many kids as my body would handle. And I really believed I didn't have any worth or skill or talent or anything to offer to the world other than my body for having kids. And yeah, like even as a kid, people would ask me, you know, oh, what's your talent or what can you do? And I'm like, I don't have anything. And so that was my entire purpose of existing, was to have babies. And unfortunately, my body didn't do so well with that. And I was very sick, traumatizingly sick. I was disabled all throughout my pregnancies. And I parented from the couch because I couldn't move. I was in and out of the hospitals having PICC lines and all of this stuff. It was very traumatizing. And not knowing what was going on with me, with being neurodivergent. And also it's genetic. So all my kids are neurodivergent as well. And it was very difficult having all of that together. Plus going through deconstruction from what I had learned in the church suddenly didn't hold up to life anymore. Life was just way too stressful, way too chaotic. And the foundations that I had learned were falling apart. And I needed to change my mindset and to adapt a new set of beliefs that would actually get me through life. And yeah, and unfortunately at that time, because it was just all too much all at once, I ended up going through parenting burnout. And that is probably one of the scariest things that I've gone through, because I have such a fierce love and dedication to my kids, but my body was too exhausted to live for them or for at all. Excuse me. And being raised or being a part of that high control group and very infused with the patriarchy, it did not go over very well that I was going through burnout and also leaving the foundations that were in place at the same time. So I ended up going through a DV situation at my lowest when I was struggling to even stay alive. I went through a DV situation on top of that. Excuse me. So it was at a time where I didn't know if I was going to be able to raise my kids or not. And I was scared for them and scared for myself. And honestly, having walked away from the foundations, I needed to establish something in its place. So that's when I created what I have now, which is the declarations of for different areas of life. And it is meant to be a safeguard from high control groups.
Okay.
And yeah, and at the time I called it Kaleidoscope. And it was more dedicated to me and my kids. And I tried to bring it out into the world, but no one knew what it was or what it was about. They didn't really understand it. I wasn't very clear myself. And so that flopped. And then COVID happened and I had to reorganize everything. Excuse me. And it came back as simply being Digital Magazine. So every issue goes through one area of life and one declaration to go with it. And these declarations validate our humanity and our existence and our individuality. And they're very empowering. And so I create these profile graphics for anyone who wants them. And they are all featured in the magazine. And I ask everyone who cares to answer the same question about the declaration and the area of life. So the first issue was about spirituality, and the declaration was simply being myself is allowed, valued, and worth it.
Okay.
And yes, so the question that we asked for that issue was how has your spiritual beliefs impacted how you feel about yourself and how you show up in the world? And that issue was phenomenal. Like the stories that came in, the answers were just so touching and, very unique, to each one's journey. But you can also see the pattern of our humanity strung through every single answer.
Hold
It
on one
was really
second. Sorry, I'm sorry. Molly, stop. My dog is barking. Sorry about that.
right.
My son's gonna take her out. Sorry. Will you shut the door? Sorry about that.
You're good. You're good.
So it's interactive. So people can just go to the website, look at the magazine, and then they see everybody's comments there. So they can get everybody's perspective on that.
Yes.
That's pretty cool. That's really cool. I have a couple questions for you. I don't mean to cut you off, but for the
Nope, it's good.
listeners, there's a couple things that you, couple terms that you used. And I know like now neurodivergent, a lot of people have heard of that, but they're kind of like, what is that? So for people that don't know what that is, tell a little bit about that because I know it encompasses many different things and you probably don't experience all of them. So.
Yes. So neurodivergent is a very broad term to include anything and everything that is not the typical social norm of behavior
Okay.
and way of thinking. That can literally include any kind of trauma response, So just being an adoptee would automatically put me in that category.
Okay.
But it's most people refer to neurodivergent to include like autism or ADHD or, something like that. PTSD, bipolar, any mental health issues can also go under that. For me specifically, it would be autism and ADHD.
And just from your upbringing and all of that, you have got to have the CPTSD and all of that other,
Oh yeah.
in
I
a big
mean,
bad way.
yeah, thankfully I've gotten a good management on that. So it doesn't affect me as much anymore, but yeah, definitely, for sure.
So tell the listeners what you did to get a good management on that. What were some of the steps that you took on this, on this podcast? We love the stories, and that's why I kind of reached out, or I don't know how we connected, but it's those stories of being in a deep, dark place and really struggling to getting out on the other side and really being able to walk out as yourself, really, like you said in your first
Yeah.
episode. Talk to the people about just what are those some of those steps that you took.
So, especially coming out of a high control environment, and for your specific audience, people who are victims, right, of could be parents, even in family, right? There's a lot of high control in families as well. The number one thing is to reclaim yourself and your autonomy and infuse it into every area of your life and make yourself a priority, while also showing up for yourself by loving other people and giving other people the freedom of their autonomy as well. And I think sometimes we forget that part because we're trying to heal and we don't want to give love anymore at our own expense.
There,
But
I love that because you're right. So many times it doesn't come up. It's all about love yourself, but you forget that it's the compassion and the empathy that you give to other people. And it has a lot to do with your own healing as well. I mean, it kind of all works together, but we do. A lot of people, we talk about it for hours and then it never comes out about the giving to other people as well. Thank
to
you.
me, like owning myself is also owning my love. I love based on how I want to love other people because it's a part of me. And whether or not people deserve it, I think that is all a lot of variables. But what matters is integrity with myself. And that's part of reclaiming myself is keeping my love for other people alive. And so And so that being said, that's a huge reason why I created the declarations, and that has helped me in my healing tremendously, was reclaiming myself through these declarations. And it's every area of life, right? Because it's we are part of everything. And excuse me. So these declarations, a lot of affirmations are, just filling your love tank up, right? Just
Right.
like, but my declarations are specifically for coming out of high control environments or being mistreated. Man, I even said these declarations to my abuser's face many, many, many times. I'm like, you can't talk to me like this because, I deserve this and whatever. And at the same time, I also held that same standard for them. And that has single-handedly helped me and my entire family in the long run. Because I held all of us to the standard of autonomy and treating each other with respect, including the people who weren't. And I was able to neutralize the violence in my home many, many times. And I'm seeing the fruit of that today. And my kids are happy and thriving and grown in maturity so much. And currently one of my exes is living with me. He used to be like,
very intolerable. And now
Mm-hmm.
we're just making it by just as friends now and helping each other out and for temporarily. And it's the night and day difference. But that's because I was dedicated and committed to not just my own autonomy, but everybody in the house.
I love it. So how many children do you have? You did not say. You said that you were a baby making machine, but you didn't say how many you made.
Sick.
Six.
Yep.
Okay,
Yep.
and
And I've
how?
had many losses as well. Yeah, six. I have six kids, and four are living with me. Two are living with their dad. I was not able to gain residential custody of all of them through all of the situation, but I have four living with me.
Nice. Are they younger, older? I mean, you don't look very old, so
Ages 15 to 3.
15. Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Nice. And I'm sure you get a lot of, I mean, it's nice having that respect too in the household, just so that you have the 15-year-old that is mentoring to the 3-year-old. You don't have that, it's
Oh
all
yes.
circle life.
It's so much easier now. Like in the beginning when everything was so chaotic, and very, it was so traumatizing. I literally had severe PTSD just of motherhood alone. Like I couldn't see another mother with a baby without having flashbacks and needing to control myself again. It's just mind-blowing to me how traumatic motherhood can be. Didn't think of that when growing up and fantasizing about it, but it's, yeah, the difference is night and day. Now it's so nice and everyone gets along. We're all doing our thing. We have a very good flow now.
Nice. So I'm sure in out there in the listening world here, we have a lot of people that have experienced that parenting overwhelm or that parenting. Talk about some of the things you did on a daily basis when you were in the midst of it, when you were just like trying to get out of it.
Oh boy. I'm glad that I documented my sacred moments with my kids on Instagram because even when I was like literally dead inside and I don't remember a lot of the things, like I have a lot of memory loss from that time. And the looking back on my posts and stuff, it like triggers like, oh, I do remember that. And what I remember from that is trying so hard to fight my mind and my emotions to stay in the moment and just be grateful that I'm with my kids.
And just remembering that, everything that you're going through right at this moment, it's just this moment. It's going to pass. You have to,
Yep.
I know Al-Anon and all the 12-step programs say, 1 minute at a time or 1 day at a time. Sometimes it's 1 second at a time. Let me just get through this 1 second and it's going to be better because everything passes, everything changes,
Absolutely. And when they were all really little, we would actually be really good for a lot of the day. And then all of a sudden, like just they all would just like freak out at the same time, or we'd have something break or, a spill or and everything all at once. And it's like, whoa. And I would just have to stop and breathe and just one thing at it. I think I said that more than anything else. I can only do one thing at a time, one thing at a time. And just have your list of priorities, boom, 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 and just go through it. Okay, what is the most urgent right now? And but I knew in those moments of chaos that once they dealt with everything, it would go back to normal again until 30 seconds later,
until the next fire you had to put out. I mean,
Yes.
it is overwhelming if your life is literally nothing but putting out fires and you didn't, like you said, you lost your whole structure of how you were
Yeah.
being taught to put out these fires. You didn't have like a healthy way of doing that. So it's like you had to literally learn that all on your own. When did you leave the church? I'm just curious about that.
officially, when I was pregnant with my fifth baby. So back in 2015, 2016.
Okay. And then that, I mean, then you just, where did you go for support right away? Cause you had to have, I mean, you're literally walking away from the only thing you've ever known your entire life.
Yeah. I did not go anywhere. I think I was more exploring myself within and also exploring the world for the first time. And I ended up did find some solace in health and wellness communities, especially since I physically needed so much healing and care. And so I learned a lot of modalities, have a lot of friends who are practitioners of all different kinds. I ended up going to massage school and graduated from there. Yep. So I think really, if I did go anywhere, I went to massage school, which is insane to me because, like, I wasn't prepared. I didn't understand. Most of us didn't, how intensive massage school is. And that's like some of the hardest times of people's lives is going to massage school. But for me, that was my escape. That was my healing place. Whereas the first time I could be myself as a person and not a mother in charge of all these kids.
Absolutely. Well, I know how I watched my friend go through massage school and she thought, you know, it's easy. You just do this and this and you know, it's so complex and there's so much to it, but she kind of felt the same way because when she was practicing on other people or when people were showing her a technique, she was getting everything she needed out of it at the same time. So I think it was very good for her at the same time she was doing it, which is great. And you're in that realm when you're in massage, yoga, anything of those healing modalities, you're in that realm of people that are all pro self-improvement and love and compassion. Yeah. You're in that world. So it's comforting to say the least. So
it was quiet.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. And you probably, yes. And coming from the chaos of six children, I can't even imagine. I ran a daycare for a while and I had a girl that worked for me, but there was times where there was literally like 12 kids at my house and three adults and 12 kids. And it was like, wow.
Oh my God.
And then I taught first grade, but honestly, teaching in a classroom is so different than having 6 to 12 kids of your own in the house. I mean, that's a totally different ball game. And it's, you're just constantly, and you grew, I mean, obviously if you grew up in that controlling environment, you grew up walking on eggshells, but having six of your own children just waiting until you get over that point where your nervous system is so like on fire. Mm-hmm. I can't even imagine the eggshell walking that was done on by you in your own house waiting for something to happen.
Yes, absolutely. I think that actually was a huge thing that I noticed in the difference of the aftermath of all of that when I was in massage school, because like my heart would never stop racing. You know, and I was just like always waiting for like the next emergency, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And being afraid to turn, you know, you said that, I mean, if they're usually, I don't know your exact situation, but I mean that the controlling church like that, that's a cult. And there's just so many things that unnormal, I guess. Unnormal, yes. Is that even a word? Yeah, not normal, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, so it's there's fear, there's all kinds of different things.
And having to, not just like to not just having to relearn the foundation, but literally to relearn morality.
Mm-hmm.
And because everything that they told us was wrong was actually fine. And the things that they told us were fine was actually wrong. So having to relearn, and then there's so much gray area in between where there's, you know, there's not a right or wrong, and trying to navigate that. And now I'm a mom with all these kids and I don't even know what's right or wrong myself, you know?
Right.
So
give an example of something that you grow up being told was right. Cause that's sometimes that's hard. You know what I mean? Just give us a couple examples for people. Cause I know there's people out there listening that are like, I wonder, because some people don't even realize how controlling it is, the environment they're in. Cause it's what they know. It's what they think.
Right. Exactly. Well, I think some of the funniest examples I have are outrageous examples. Were at my cult college that I met my first husband at. And they had places on campus. Now remember, we're talking a college. So we're talking adults here, okay? And there was no sense of that we were adults at all. We were still treated as we were small children. And there were places on campus at certain times of day that you were not allowed to talk to anyone of the opposite sex. Yeah. So guys and girls could not speak to each other at certain places at certain times. And I remember I was talking to my then boyfriend at the time and accidentally got caught up in this rule that I was completely unaware of. And someone came and talked to us and told us about the rule. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And I like laughed and they're like, no, seriously. And if you get caught with any kind of violation of that, having to deal with the opposite sex, like, or kissing or touching, we weren't allowed to touch at all. And so if you were in violation of that, you would be what's called socialed. Shadowing was something else. It included shadowing, but socialed meant that you were not allowed to talk to members of the opposite sex for a long time, like weeks. And you'd have someone of authority follow you around everywhere. That was shadowing. They would follow you around to make sure that you didn't speak to any guy or any girl.
So you didn't have cell phones. You didn't have any, like, they literally had someone with you all the time.
Yeah. Well, that was if you got caught in violation. I never did, but I watched it happen to others.
That is crazy.
Right?
And what was the reasoning? Was it to cleanse yourself?
Purity culture. Yes. Okay. And really afraid of sexuality so much that, like, just interacting with someone you might find attractive just was so degraded, so like treated as this horrible, evil thing.
But at the same time, they're encouraging you to have multiple children.
That's once you're married, you know, you're married, then it's like this magical light switch that happens that all of a sudden you will be blessed with this incredible life if you save yourself for marriage.
Right. I had, there was another guest, I can't think of which episode it was she was on, but it was almost the same thing. You know, she had this grandiose vision of all of a sudden you get married and then you start having a normal relationship and everything's perfect and the husband takes care of you and you're this subservient little perfect wife. And her husband ended up being a porn addict who confessed to having feelings for his 1-year-old daughter. And the church was like, nope, there's nothing. Nobody says anything against that. Like, that's okay. It's not grounds for divorce. And I'm like, what? But again, she didn't know any different. She grew up, it was the same thing. She grew up with just all this stuff being planted, and it was the word. There was no discussing it. There was no, you know, questioning it. But so when you say cult college, so did you live in like a commune, you know, like a group, or so it wasn't?
Yeah, we lived on campus. Yep. Okay. We lived on campus. And, everything we needed besides a Walmart was on campus.
Wow. So you grew up and went straight into the school. It wasn't negotiable. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's when the church was still kind of taking care of you, because they kind of adopted you as.
Yeah, that was my, my adoptive parents, they sent me there to college. And it's funny because at my particular church, they sanctioned six different Christian colleges, and the youth group would take us on college trips to visit. So each year they would take you on two college to visit two colleges. So I went all 3 years in a row. So I visited all of the six colleges that were church approved. And my father told me, you can't get married until you have a college degree. And these are the only colleges that you can go to.
Wow. And you still talk to him?
Not too much. We've had a very rough time since I left. But it's civil now.
And that just because of the way you are, not because that's, I mean, very few people would be able to reconcile anything like that.
I mean, I'm also huge on accountability too, which is people think, you know, don't think of loving people because we've been conditioned to like loving people is sacrificing yourself. And that's right. Not true. So like I said, when you hold everyone to a standard, the same standard of accountability, you're also going to be big on accountability and boundaries.
Right.
So my parents actually apologized to me a couple times already. It's still not the same. And I told them it'll never be the same. And I've had to learn how to live my life without them. And, you know, things aren't the same anymore, but I am very grateful for what has turned around.
Yep. And that's all you can do. You can't wallow in the past. It's past.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and whether you've let go of a lot of that stuff and forgiven or whatever you needed to forgive to move on and be happy. And you can't keep that. You can't keep dealing with that over and over again. That's just, to me, that's amazing. I mean, if you were my kid, I'd just hug you. Like, I'm so proud of you. You know, that had to have been tough.
Yeah. Well, I think, honestly, I think being a neurodivergent adoptee saved me. As traumatic as it is being that, it also saved me at the same time because I don't have emotional attachment like most people do. I'm able to separate myself from it and what's going on. And just being an adoptee, I always felt like I was on my own anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So that really wasn't hard for me. I also learned how to still feel love while there's incredible distance.
Right.
So I think that has helped me in a way, and just being neurodivergent and how my autistic brain works, just being able to just go and adjust myself to whatever the truth is that's presented. I'm like, okay, I guess we're going over here now. And whereas a lot of people who come out of these high control groups have a huge emotional reaction, it's very, very difficult to process what you were a part of without your full understanding and consent. And so for me, I didn't have emotional attachment to that. I just wanted to know, well, where should I go?
Right. Because being autistic, it's very, very factual. So
yeah.
It's not like,
yeah, very logic based. Yeah.
Very logic based. So it's not the emotional based where when your mom says something to you and all of a sudden you spin 1,000 different versions of it, you're just like, nope, she just didn't talk to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, why would you say that? That doesn't even make any sense. And why would you treat me like that? You're not supposed to do that.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. But yeah, you probably didn't process through, like, cause I know, I mean, being in that situation, like most people would have all kinds of abandonment issues and all kinds of where you're just like, nope, she's just not there. Like you said, you can detach from that emotion, which you're right, probably did help you a lot.
Mm-hmm. It definitely. And it also made me feel a little weird. It was hard as a as a mom, trying to like understand what my kids would feel towards me, because I never had, you know, that longing of, oh, I just want my mom. I never had that.
Right.
So it was like I had to reframe my mind. And I don't know, it's like almost like I don't know what that's like. And I tried my best to show up and build trust with my kids, you know, that I am going to be there.
Right.
And I will listen to you and I will hold you, you know. But as far as like that, I don't know, I had to learn what that looks like through my kids because I didn't have that.
Mm-hmm. No, I get it. I get it. When you grow up without feeling that unconditional love, you don't know that you miss it. You don't know that right. You need it. So it's hard to teach yourself that if you have a child, they're going to need that, even though you might think you didn't, you know what I mean?
So. Yeah. It was, the interesting thing is with being an adoptee, is very child-centered. Even if I didn't have the emotional longing, I was still very child-centered. So that also kept me grounded in a way that I could show up for them the way that I needed to. But like emotionally, it was a little strange. And that also affected all my relationships and even going through these high control groups, you know, mm-hmm. in spirituality.
So what are the, I'm super curious because I'm going to have to check out your magazine, but what are some of the other, like spirituality was the first one. What were some of the other topics just briefly to
Economy. People? So there's spirituality, economy, home, education, well-being, community, and enjoyment.
So it's your version of just the wheel of life that a lot of coaches and a lot of people, when you go to therapy and you go to different places, they're going to give you that your financial, your emotional, your financial, your family, your relationships, all of that. So it's your version of that. So it's
and they're color coded. Of course.
Organization. Very cool.
Yes.
I love it. So how often now, once you finish the eight, so eight is just going to be eight magazines, or what are you going to?
There's seven. So seven. Each area of life. So there's seven categories, and each category has seven declarations that go with it. So there's a total of 49 declarations.
Okay.
And each year in one annual subscription, we'll go through one volume and one declaration for each category. So there's seven issues per year. And it'll take me 7 years to go through the whole set.
Okay. Okay. Neat. So you're going to, So basically 7 years and they got the whole thing. And then, wow, how much, I love it because I love the fact it's kind of like these podcasts, even like my story is one thing, but you can talk to 100 different adult children of alcoholics and their story is 100% different. How they looked at it is 100% different. I mean, you take my brother, my sister and I, that's three children in the same house and our stories are 100% different.
Yeah. Yeah. So, what's interesting to me of how, because I'm autistic and I see patterns right everywhere. So especially coming from a high control group and walking out and finding all these patterns of high control everywhere in every area of life too. In my birth family, my birth mom had 8 kids in 10 years. I was the second removed from the home. And then she had a whole bunch of kids after she relinquished me. And now I'm in a, now I've reconnected with all of them. And it is absolutely incredible and impressive in a bad way of how we were all really traumatized and messed up, all in completely different ways by the same woman. And, but through all of that, even though the details are all very different, one thing that holds us together is our humanity and our empathy for one another and the emotional journey. While the emotions are different, they're handled differently, it comes back to there's this glue of our humanity that holds us together. And yes, I lost my mom and they had an abusive mom. But right. Our core of our humanity is we both didn't have a mom who was who we needed her to be.
Right.
And so there's a loss there, regardless of if she was in our life or not. Right. And we have to go through that journey of how we're going to deal with that. And there's many different reactions based on our genetic code and based on our personal experiences, but coming through that and allowing that space for each one and their each reaction and giving each other grace and compassion through it and just reaffirming each other's existence has been so healing.
Oh, I bet. I can't even imagine. You said there's 10 of you.
Well, 8 of us in 10 years. Yep.
8 of you in 10 years. That's 8 of us.
Yeah.
Wow. Christmas and, must be a trip.
Well, we don't have them. We've okay. never been all together.
Okay.
But it's, yeah, but just being able to talk to and connect to each one, it's been really amazing. And I do that. That's what I do in my magazine is what I'm learning in my talking with people is that even though the details are so different, we have this glue of humanity that holds us together. And I believe that we really can connect with anybody that we want to if we put in the effort and we have that empathy and compassion and we can truly connect with each other.
Absolutely. And that's why I love your community that you're creating, because that's what it is. It's a community and people are all given their perspective and they're all, it's just a massive support group. And I'm super excited to see where it goes. So what year, month, where are you at in the?
I actually am just new. So the first issue is out now.
Okay.
And working on the second issue. They come out every 6 weeks.
Okay.
And there's, for the monthly subscribers, like you can buy annual subscriptions.
Okay.
And that's pretty cut and dry. But the monthly is a little bit trickier because it doesn't come out every single month. It comes out every 6 weeks. So for monthly subscriptions, there's a bonus little mini magazine every month. So
very cool. So if people want to reach out and get this, because I know that's what you want. That's what you're doing. That's where your message is being spread through this platform of your magazine, what is the best way for them to reach out and get you?
Well, you can find me on Facebook at Ren Story, or on Instagram at Simply Being Ren. My website is pensite.com/x/Ren Story.
Okay. And I will put all of that in the show notes so people don't have to write furiously as they're listening to this or pull over the car, backtrack, you know. But yes, thank you so much, Ren, for coming on. Thanks you.
Thank you.
I love it. And before you leave, I always have the guests leave the listeners with just some words of advice. What would you say if you could be talking to your newly healing person?
What I say to everybody with Simply Being is you are allowed, you are valued, and you are worth it.
Amen. I love it. Love it. Well, that's it, guys. You heard from Ren. Thank you so much again, Ren, for coming on. And we're going to follow this magazine. We're going to have you back here in another year when you've wrapped up whatever it is. So I know you said 7 years to do the whole thing. So we're going to have you back again. Maybe to talk about the next thing. So next time, maybe we'll just talk about your 7 principles of the spirituality and we can have you on every, whatever it is, because I enjoy the conversation.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, that would be really cool as a follow-up. And then, yeah, I would love to do it for you and with you. I think it would be so great for the listeners. And for everybody else out there, there is an amazing story. And again, so much hope and healing. Thanks. And we'll see you in another episode.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining me today on the Adult Child of Dysfunction podcast. If this episode resonated with you, or you think someone else could benefit from what you heard, why not share it with someone you care about? Let's heal from our past and take back control of our lives together. If you're interested in learning more, head on over to www.tammyvincent.com for a free chapter of my book, Surviving Alcoholic Parents. While you're there, be sure to catch my invigorating seminar, Awakening Your Authentic Self. Together, we will rewrite our stories and turn trials into triumphant smiles. Until next time, keep embracing your strength, keep being you, and know that you are more than enough. You are way more than enough right here, right now.